In chapter 17 this morning, in Genesis, we see God come to visit Abram again. And it's been 13 years since he's visited him, since he's spoken with him that we know of, that's recorded anyway. But Abram staying faithful, walking with the Lord, trusting the Lord, in spite of not having this promise being fulfilled in his life yet. And it's going to be almost 30 years of walking, having the promise of God, and yet not seeing the fulfillment of that. And boy, sometimes we look at it and we go, how did you survive? How did you stay and continue in those places when you hadn't seen the fulfillment of it? But we have a hope, don't we, of heaven coming. And yet we haven't seen the fulfillment of it, but that hasn't taken away from us the desire to know it. Plus, we know that God is going to be faithful to fulfill it. He's promised. And what he's promised, he's going to bring to a completion. And we look forward to that time when we do go to heaven, when we get to be there with him and worship him face to face in that place of blessing, complete blessing without sin, which is going to be one of the greatest blessings for me anyway, is not to see any sin in heaven, walking down the streets of gold with no sin. Can you imagine if the streets of gold were in Rochester right now? They'd be digging up the streets. It'd be amazing. Some of the streets need digging up, but hey, that's besides the point. But here's Abram, and it's still Abram, not Abraham. This is going to change in this chapter. But God was not procrastinating. He wasn't delaying things because Abraham had fallen out of grace. He was doing exactly what he said he was going to do. It was just his timing and not Abram's timing. And sometimes those promises for us are God's timing and not our timing. We just need to be faithful to trust the Lord that he's going to do that. And so help our hearts, Lord, this morning to trust in those things that you've said, and we still don't see the fulfillment, but help us to trust you anyway. Help us to trust you that you're going to get us through this disease. Help us during this time when our bodies are falling apart that we would trust you, that you're going to complete that good work that you've begun in us, whether our bodies are whole, whether our bodies are broken, whether our bodies are diseased, or whether we're just in old age failure, that you would just sustain us during this time you've promised to. So we know that your grace is sufficient for all these things, so help us to trust you in the midst of it, Lord. And not falter at those things that come at us just to break us down. And so it says, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I wonder if Abraham was so old that the Lord had to speak up a little bit. I don't think so. I think God's voice, so when he appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. So because I am the Almighty God, this is what I require of you, that you would walk before me. Not only walk in that place of just being able to walk, but walking rightly. Walking in holiness, walking in truth. It says here, and be thou perfect. What that perfect means is mature in your faith, to be before me, walking in maturity. Walking in that place where you would just glorify God in your walk. And some of us don't walk like we used to. We can't walk fast anymore. Some of us just kind of shuffle from room to room. But we're still in that place of walking before the Lord. Our eyes are upon him and his eyes are upon us. And Lord, we want to walk rightly before you in the little things that we can do now. We can't do what we used to do, but we can certainly still be faithful to the things of the Lord. And that's our encouragement this morning, is that we would be faithful to God, faithful in our relationships with him, in our relationship with each other, in our relationship to the world, that we would be faithful in it. So Lord, help us, no matter what our state, to walk rightly with you and just to be mature in our faith, not to be as little kids still crawling on the floor spiritually, but upright, walking before the Lord in maturity, in faith and trust in who he is. the word there, Almighty God, is translated El Shaddai, El being God, the Almighty One, the strength giver, the one that's there, that we trust, the strong one, the one that's able to do everything that he's promised to do. Shaddai comes in that translation of being more of the nourisher, the strength giver, the many-breasted one, the one that brings nourishment to his people, the one who can bring strength to us and bring us into that place. So we've got a strong one who wants to give us strength, the all-sufficient one. He is a good translation of it too. He is the all-sufficient one for everything that you need, everything that you desire, everything that's in front of you, every confrontation. He is the one, the strength giver, that's able to give you the strength to do it and to walk in the truth of it. So he appears before Abraham as this one who can sustain him, who can give him strength, who can just be in that place of just being everything that Abraham needs. And it's the same for you and I. We all walk by faith, and that faith is in the one who's alive, who's well, who's real. We trust him. No matter what we're facing, no matter how the opposition says there is no hope, he is our hope. And so we trust him in it. It says this in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. It says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." That you won't lower yourselves to trusting those things that aren't real, that aren't true, that aren't right. And certainly for the world, they're trusting so many things that aren't right anymore, that they're in that place of just not dealing with what the Lord has said. Instead, they're taking into their own hands their walk with the Lord and saying, it's my way, Lord, and I want you to bless that. I think we've probably all tried that. Lord, bless my mess. We're going to see Abraham say that. Bless my mess. Well, he's not going to bless your mess, but he's going to provide for you in the midst of it, and he is going to bless those things that are here so that his glory will still be seen. But we can't just mess up and say, Lord, bless my mess, and just thank you for loving me. There's a repentance involved, isn't there? There's a place that we come to him, Lord, forgive me, because I certainly have messed up. And I think we've all probably prayed that prayer at least a few times, even this morning. Bless my mess, Lord. Forgive me, because I've made a mess out of everything here. But the Lord comes, and he's faithful in the midst of it. Remember, he's met with Abram. He's put Abram to sleep so he can make this covenant with Abram. And we've seen that as he walked through the division of those animals that he had to bring this covenant to pass, this blood covenant that's going to come to pass. And so he looks at Abraham and he says, "And I will make my covenant. I will, not that I might or I could, but I'm going to, because I'm God and this is what I'm doing. I can swear by none greater, because there is none greater. So I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply you exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face after all these years. He could have been upset and said, "God, where are you? It's been 13 years since you talked with me. What is up, Lord?" Instead, he hears the Lord's voice, and he instantly falls down before him in reverence, in worship, in adoration of the one who's above him. He submitted his life completely to him, and even at 99, to fall down before him. For you and I, we'd have to have something close to us so we could push ourselves back up again. But here he is out in the open, just falling down before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And how many times do we do that during our day or during the issues that come, the problems that come, that we adore him no matter what? Lord, help me in that. Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. Notice he didn't tell him to get up. "Since you're in this place of submission, Abram, stay there. Lord, you know how old my bones are? we don't stay real well in one position. We have to move a little bit so that we don't cramp up, so that we don't get in a place where we don't move at all for days. It's amazing. We're listening to part of the pastor's conference at Philly this past week, and one of the guys that talked had COVID. He was a younger guy, and he was in ICU for over six months? I forget how long it was, but it was so long that his kidneys shut down, his organs started shutting down. He was just a mess. Couldn't use his arms. When he finally did wake up, couldn't use his legs, but his love for the Lord is still there because the Lord did miracles in his life and kept him. When he went into the hospital, his oxygen sat was 42, and he was still awake. That's only the Lord. That's only his grace, because you should be dead at 42. And I was just sitting there going, well, I guess I didn't have it too bad then. When I went in, I was still in the 80s. It was just, oh, this is good, Lord. Amazing. And yet to bring him through and to bring him to that place of just trusting the Lord. He falls on his face just before him and just worshiping. Lord, thank you for what you've done. In spite of where I am, I can still praise you. And so I'm going to. The communion was there. The priority for any purpose, for any purposes with God, is communion. It's always in that place where we would have communion with our loving God. Whether you're in the hospital, whether you can't move out of your bed, there's still communion with the risen Lord, because we still have our being. Our spirit is still within us. And he says in verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. Notice the Lord says it's my covenant, it's not yours. It's my covenant that I'm giving to you. My covenant's still with you. I haven't given up on my covenant with you, even though it's been years in your time frame. It's only been a couple hours in my time frame. In my covenant, still with you. I haven't left you. This should be an encouragement to Abram to just keep going, to just keep trusting no matter what the Lord does. And for you and I, certainly an encouragement that God's covenant is with us, and his covenant came through his son Jesus. That place of blessing, we still have hope. And our hope is a capital H. It's a big hope. It's a sure hope. We're going home to heaven to be with him. And you shall be the father of many nations, and neither shall they call your name anymore Abram, or High Father is what his name means, but your name, your new name, is going to be Abraham, or the father of many nations. I'm going to change your name, Abram, to just show people the difference between what the world names you and what I name you. For you're going to be a father of many nations, and I've made you to be that. I'm making you, and I have made you to be that. And what has he made us to be? We don't know what we're made to be. We're going to see it as our lives unfold, as our lives come to fruition, as we walk with him. He's going to show us what our names mean and what his work has done in our lives. He certainly changed you from what you used to be. You're not what you're going to be, but you're different than what you used to be. And you're better off than what you used to be. You went from a place of no hope to having hope. And thank you, Lord, for that, that we can rest in that, that we can trust that, that we can be in that place. What an awesome blessing the Lord has given us, that we can have hope. And I can't give you hope, but he can give you every hope that you need to have. Oh, so wonderful. And the Lord goes on and he says about this covenant that he's going to bring, as he brings it about in verse 6 on. In 24 times in the covenant, God says, I will. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. Here's a man who hasn't had a kid except with a surrogate wife, who hasn't had a baby by his own wife. And yet he said, I'm going to make you fruitful. And sometimes we think, well, it's only stuff that we can see, but sometimes that fruit in our lives is something that only the world can see as we get changed. The peace that's in your life now, the joy that's in your life, the patience that's in your life, even though you think you have no patience. it's better than the patience you used to have. He's working that in you and working that through you. Sometimes that's the fruit that he brings into our life. For Abram, certainly it was going to be fruit that came out of his loins, but it's also that fruit that the Lord worked in him spiritually. Because Abram was an idol worshiper. Remember, he came out of Ur of the Chaldees. They used to worship the moon god. And he's brought him out of that. And we think, well, you know, we've got to be in that place where we're reaching every nation. And that's certainly one of the commands of the Lord. But you know what? The Lord can work in those places that we don't get to, can he? Because it wasn't anybody he sent to get Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. He went and met Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees. The Lord can work outside of us as well as working with us. He just gives us a blessing by allowing us to be part of this. What a wonderful God. But he went and got him. I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to make nations of you. Not just a child. I'm going to make nations out of your loins. And kings shall come out of you. So in this first part of this section, we really see four things that are coming out of this covenant. First, we see that the Lord's grace is going to be there. In verse 6, we see that it's his grace to make Abram fruitful and to bring kings out of his loins and to make nations out of him. There's grace in this covenant that the Lord has made with him. And it's the same grace that we see in our lives that he's made a covenant with us. That as you submit yourself to me, I'm going to love you and I'm going to bring you home to heaven. That's grace. Because I hate to tell you, as handsome as you people are, as beautiful as you people are, as wonderful as you people are, you don't deserve heaven.
Oh, I don't.
That's right. And it's only by his grace that we enter into heaven. So we have that same promise, the grace that's there. In verse 7, he says, and I am going to bring it to pass. I'm going to conform it. I'm going to build it. I'm going to establish my covenant between me and thee and your seed after you in all their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So his covenant also says that it's going to be with all the people. And didn't the Lord do that too? Because who did Jesus come to die for? The sins of the whole world. And so it's for all the people. It doesn't mean everybody's going to accept it or come into that relationship with it, but he provided that means by which they could. The same kind of covenant that he's given to us. And then he says, and I will give thee, in verse 8, to thy seed after thee, thy land which in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So this covenant is going to be everlasting. It's going to be forever and ever. How long are we going to be in heaven? Ever and ever. Kind of the same thing that's going on here. And we think, well, this was just for Abraham. No, this is for all of Christianity. And what else did he provide for him? It says all the land of Canaan. For Abram, it was a physical land. It was a land that he was going to give him, and it was his land. It was God's land to give to whomever he pleases. It is not the Palestinians' land. It is God's land. And it's for his people, whoever he chooses. And boy, we enter into trouble. In the United States is in that place now. Well, we're trying to get them to divide the land. And what did God say about that land? Don't divide it. It's theirs. Don't give it to anybody else. We're in trouble when we start going against the commandments of God. And what is our land going to be? Heaven. And it's going to be ours for eternity. So we enter in by grace. It's for everybody. It's eternal. And we have that possession that he's going to give us. The same covenant that he's giving Israel, he's also given to us. Not in the sense that he gave it to Israel, but spiritually we see how it's coming to pass and what it's going to be. And God said unto Abram in verse 9, you shall keep my covenant, therefore, because I'm doing all this. Abram, it's your duty to keep my covenant. What did the Lord say in John 6? This is the work that we need to do for Christ. What's that work? To believe on him whom he has sent. It's the same thing. Believe God. Isn't it amazing we have so much trouble believing God and then acting in it? Ah, Lord, I believe it, but it must be for somebody else. It's got to be for somebody that's a better speaker. It's got to be for somebody that's a better teacher. It's got to be for somebody that's a better wife or a better husband. All those promises have got to be for them. And he says, no, it's for you and you and you and you and me. Thank you, Lord. You shall keep my covenant, therefore, you and your seed after you and their generations. And this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man-child that is among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. This is going to be just an appearance of that thing that shows the covenant between you and me. In many in those days were doing the same things, but it was just going to be for his people that he was going to not only be there with them, but bless them and have this token of this covenant. We read this in Romans chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. It says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also, as Paul writes to this church at Rome to speak to them, to minister to them of the confusion that was there between those that were circumcised and those that weren't. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He promised him that before the circumcision came. The circumcision was just a token that they had entered into the relationship. And what does it tell us in Scripture? That we're to rend our hearts, that we're to have that foreskin of our hearts cut off. That's what he's given to us. That the physical thing becomes a spiritual thing in our lives. And he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. So he received faith, he got that faith, he used that faith, he believed God before he was circumcised. This was just the result of it, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Notice he needed to walk in it like you and I need to walk in that. We walk in it, trusting it, walking towards him and believing him. This is my covenant. Every man-child that's among you shall be circumcised. And then verse 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man-child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed. So anybody that comes in, that enters in, and remember it said in Romans there that all that believe had their father Abraham. We're all in that place because we believe by faith the righteousness that God has brought to him. It's going to be an everlasting covenant. It's going to shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. As they came into that place, they wouldn't take the token of that covenant, and therefore they were cut off. And what is it for you and I if we don't believe the promises of God, as we reject the work of the Holy Spirit, come into the world to convince every man of salvation that God has provided for us? We get cut off. They get cut off. And it isn't because God wasn't faithful. It's because they had their choice. And they didn't want to choose life. We see a whole world that's not choosing life. How sad that is. And yet we've got a God who's brought that to us. Do you feel deserving of it? No way. I don't deserve any part of this, Lord. But I'm so blessed that you've given me life. I'm so blessed that you've given me all this to see in this world before I come to be with you. You and I are the most blessed people in the world. Do you realize how blessed you are? there's kings and presidents and prime ministers and rulers, and we're richer than all of them put together because we know the God who made this world, by who spoke it into existence, and they have no clue. They think they're doing things, wonderful things for the world, but we know the one who made everything. How much greater riches do we have than they have? Be encouraged. Verse 15, as we switch gears a little bit here, and God said unto Abram, as for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai anymore, but Sarah shall be her name. Sarah means princess. So I'm going to make a princess out of her. And I will bless her and give thee a son of also of her. Yea, I will bless her. Twice in this verse says, I will bless her. Sarah, feeling certainly not blessed because she had no children, 90 years old, past the time of bearing, and yet the Lord says, oh, this woman is blessed. I'm sure she didn't feel blessed, but the Lord saw her as blessed. And the Lord said, I'm going to pour out my blessing on her, even if she doesn't feel like it. Do you know that God has poured out blessings that sometimes we don't even feel or understand or know because we don't want to receive them? Look through all of Scripture. See how many promises and how many blessings are there for us. There's blessings of obedience that we could have if we would just trust God for it. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed. I don't think it was a laughter of, you are just playing a prank on me, Lord. It was just laughter because he couldn't believe God is being so good to him. Do you ever get to that place sometimes where you read Scripture and you just start smiling? You can't believe that God is this good to you because you know what you're like. I was just sitting there this morning reading over this and just realizing, Lord, my heart is so rotten. My heart is so awful. I can't believe you allow me to do this, that you allow me to have your word, that you allow me to enter into a relationship with you when I am so bad. He goes, my love is greater than your sin. My love is greater than your awful heart. My love for you is greater than your awful disposition, than your criticalness, than your anxiousness. My love is greater than any part of that. Oh, just rest in that for a while. We'll take a couple hours and no, we'll go on. Just rest in that during this weekend. Just remember what he's done. So Abram falls on his face and laughed and said in his heart, notice he says it is in his heart. He doesn't speak it out loud. Can God hear your thoughts? Hello. We all think we get away with something, and God goes, I already heard you. Shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And Sarah, notice he's calling her by her new name, that is 90 years old, bear. I'm 100 years old. And the laughter that's there is, I can't believe you're doing this. I'm too old for this. And he starts laughing because he knows God is going to be faithful to do it. And he just can't believe it. I've waited all these years, and I'm going to see the fruition of that come to pass. And don't be like the world that said, you've been saying it for years and years and years that Jesus is coming back and is going to rapture the church. Don't be like them. And don't be like them in the promises that God has given you, that God has spoken to your heart, and that God has told you was going to come to pass in your life. These things are going to come to pass. You don't have to doubt the Lord. He's always faithful. That's part of his name. That's part of his character. That's one of his attributes, faithfulness. You and I who are not faithful laugh at it because we know our unfaithfulness, but we don't realize the depths of his faithfulness. Did you make it through the night? Not any of your own works. God's breath. Can he keep you till you it's time to go home and then give you eternity with him? Not because of your works, because of his grace and his promises. Glory to God. And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before me. Lord, bless my mess. I can't believe you're really going to give me a kid, so it's got to be Ishmael. Bless my mess. The Lord says, nah, not your mess. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. Lord, I'm 100. She's 90. We haven't had relations in years. What are you talking about, Lord? It's past my prime. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace for me. But, Lord, this is well beyond anything that we can do. If you think you can't, God says, I can. Hmm. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac. Not only am I going to give you a child, I'll give you a name for that child. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So, Abraham, it's starting with you. It's coming through Isaac, your son, which name means laughter because they were laughing so much they couldn't believe that this was really going to happen. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I heard what you said in your heart. I've heard what you said in your life. I have heard you. I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. There's a set time for everything in God's order. He has a set time. His rapture has a set time. He knows when he's coming. You and I don't. He's just told us to keep looking up because his redemption's drawing nigh. Whether we go home today or whether we go home as a group plan. I love group plans with Excellus, you know. But I like God's group plan a lot better than I like Excellus's, because all Excellus says is we'll pay for part of your hospital care, but we ain't paying for the whole thing. God said, I'll pay for the whole thing. His are a lot better than what the world can make up. And he left off talking with him, and God went up. He didn't go around. Notice it says, look at the wording, he went up. I had one guy argue with me for I don't know how many times that God, heaven is not up, and God is not up. He's down. He said, you really have to look at Scripture. And I'm looking at it going, up. To me, up means up. I don't know what he means. But it just shows what we can do with Scripture if we twist it enough to make it say what we want it to say. Because what he was trying to say is, God is within us and we're gods of our own. Oof. No, 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 no. There's one God and we are not it. He is and he's up. A small thing, but it can be a big thing. Because if you take that as true, that God is down and not up, then it taints your whole theology of every part of Scripture. Don't let your emotions or what you want to think taint what God's Word says. Keep God's Word as God's Word. It's precious, it's holy, and you don't need to add to it or take away from it. Trust it for what it is. So he left off talking with him. God was done speaking. So now Abraham's just got to get through all of this and put it all together in his own heart and his own mind. Okay, I'm 100 years old. As he looks at Sarah, hey, baby. And she goes, huh? Who are you talking to? Give me a break. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son. Look at what he does. He realizes what God has said, and so he's completely obedient to God right away at 99. Well, I'm too old to be obedient to God. No, you're not. You can obey God's word right now as much as you could when you were 20. All you have to do is do it. You believe him. Abram took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised with the flesh of their foreskin, and same day as God had said unto him, obedience, even in the hard things. This is a hard thing. This is a hard thing. No, I'm not going to make that. No, I'm not going there. Okay, we can't go there. The hard things. Lord, we can be obedient in the easy things, right? In the easy things as far as what we consider easy. To God, this was an easy thing because he was going to take care of them. But to them, it was a hard thing. And yet he was obedient in it. And look at what he did. every male in his household. Remember what Joshua said in 24? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that means whatever he says is what we're going to do. Oh, and we say that, don't we? We quote it to other people, don't we? Until it comes against us in the hard things. And then we go, Lord, that's for somebody else to obey, not for me. He says, no, this is for us today. Lord, even in the hard things, help me to be obedient to you. If you're calling me to submit myself to you even more and to allow you to work in my life, even in these hard things, I know you're going to give me the grace to do it. So, Lord, help me with it. If you're calling me to stay where I am and not rebel against the authority you've put over me, then, Lord, I know you're giving me the grace to do it. Then help me to obey it today, not tomorrow, not next week, not if they get nicer. Lord, help me to obey today before I even get there. Prepare your heart to do it today. Oh. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine. He repeats that a few times. I know you're old, Abram, but you're not without breath. You can obey me today. Oh. When he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old. It wasn't any easier at 99 than it is at 13. When he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. But notice what Abram did. And to me, this is so telling. Because sometimes we have parents, and we as parents do the same thing. We tell our kids, do as I say, not as I do. Abraham obeyed. And then he had his son obey. And his household obey. He was the leader. He was also the example. Folks, we need to be examples for the world. We can't look at them and tell them they need to get saved and submit themselves to God when we're not going to do it. Lord, help me to obey and to submit myself to you completely. If you want to do something in my life today, Lord, that's hard, I know the grace will be there. I know your promises are there. Lord, help me to do it and not disobey. I'm preaching to myself. You guys just happen to be hearing it. and so all the men of his house, born in the house, and were bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. They all came to that place of just walking in that truth, of just being in that place where it was an outward sign of what was going on inside. And isn't that where our faith starts? Our faith doesn't start outwardly because we see God. Our faith starts inwardly because our hearts realize that God is real, God is true, and that he wants us. And we aren't wantable. I know it's probably not a word, but that's the only one you're going to get, wantable. You're wantables, not wannabes, wantables. You're those people he wants, and he wants something better for you. And the better thing for you is to walk in obedience to God. And to trust him. He's going to get you through. He's going to see you through. He just wants you to come into obedience with him. And so let's pray, and then we'll take communion. We'll just be in that place where we just sit before him and just hear what he has to say to us. But let's bring our hearts before the Lord. And if you're fighting with the Lord this morning about something that he's asked you to do or asked you to be obedient in, Then just bring it before him. Or if he's just preparing your heart this morning for something that might come this week or today, just help. Just ask for his help. Because he's the strength giver. He's El Shaddai. He's the one that can nourish you. He's the one that can sustain you. He's the one that can strengthen you. He's all sufficient for everything that you need. So, Father, we just come this morning with hearts that are troubled. There's trouble on every side, Lord, but you're faithful in the midst. And Lord, we see outwardly, but Lord, we want to see with eyes of faith what you can do in our lives. And so we just look to you this morning, Lord. And Father, I know for me, you've already been speaking to me about some of these things this morning. And Father, I just want to come into that agreement with you that you're right, that I need you to be who you want to be in my life. I don't want to argue with you anymore. I don't want to be against you in this way. I want to submit to you, and I want to trust you. You're all sufficient for all my needs, and you want what's best for me, so help me with it, Lord. Help our hearts just to come to that place of just relying on you and trusting you, because we need you. We're in desperate days. We need a desperate faith that's going to believe God in all these things. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.